Wow, Jackie, thank you for sharing that with us. We all kind of had a collective, I guess, expression of joy at that. It's hard to imagine, but we can see here on our flight PFD that we are at 118,000 nautical miles. So, yeah, you can do the math. We can see the moon out of the docking right now. It is a beautiful sight. We're seeing more and more of the far side, and it's just a thrill to be here.
Houston, copy. And there, we just had that confirmation called up to the crew that the Orion spacecraft named Integrity and its crew, which you can currently see on your screen, are now officially closer to the moon than they are to Earth. This comes about 2 days, 5 hours, and 24 minutes following a liftoff from NASA's Kennedy Space Center on April 1st at 5:35 p.m. Central, 6:35 p.m. Eastern. Now, while they are officially closer to the moon than they are to Earth, they have not entered what is known as the lunar sphere of influence yet. That milestone will come on flight day 5. And when that milestone happens, that is when the moon, instead of the Earth, becomes the main gravitational force acting on the Orion spacecraft. And we're currently in an expected loss of signal. So right now you're seeing a live look inside the Artemis flight control room here in Mission Control, Houston.
Houston, Integrity on one for toilet and that kind of burning odor smell we were reporting on the ground.
Integrity, Houston, we're having a little bit of a choppy calm. Can you repeat?
Yeah, Jackie, we just wanted to sync up with you. We know that there was some talk about some burnt smell from the heaters. Just stand by one. Okay, Jackie, so this time we turned on WHC on the toilet and it had that burning odor smell that we just hadn't experienced before. And so we just wanted to talk to you about it. We know we had a briefing on that.
Checking. Hey, Jeremy, on the toilet, we're actually scratching our heads a little bit down here. Tonight on the odor that you are referencing. So can you give us a little more clarity on it happened when it was running or not, and this is the first time that you experienced it? Is that correct?
So the crew has felt it once or twice before, but this time was stronger and was different. And we opened the door, everybody in the cabin could smell it. So we're just thought we'd check in with you. We're not overly concerned right now. It's probably related to what we're told to expect, but we just wanted to have a quick conversation.
Jeremy, we're checking. Integrity, Houston, we are pulling together the minds here to recall exactly what the pre-flight expectations were. In the meantime, we would like a quick AGA reading from its location.
All AGA readings are off scale low.
Houston, copy. Thanks.
Jackie, for the EMERCOM DFTO, I am ready for your go in Instruction 76. I understand we might be pausing to address this issue. And regarding the smell, I just wanted to be sure you all were tracking the EGS notes of the kind of burning heater smell that was coming from toilet several times. It was never sourced what it exactly was, but it was identified as a known smell. So that's one reason why when I smelled it earlier, I didn't report it. It was kind of a lighter odor than this time, though.
Copy all, Christina, and yeah, we'll discuss at least for a few minutes here before we continue on with the EMERCOM DFTO. And yep, we are getting the information about the pre-flight smell now, so thanks. Integrity Houston, on Orion Earth 1. For the toilet, we've discussed, based on the pre-flight reports and the AGA readings, we're going to continue discussing on the ground, but we are comfortable continuing with the emergency comm DFTO, and we are comfortable with you continuing to use the toilet.
Okay, understood, Jackie. Now that sounds reasonable to us.
Okay, and the final thing, you know, we'll lose video during the EMERCOM DFTO, but just if you're still working on ECG checkout when we get back, just please be mindful of screens being viewed by the HHP camera.
Copy, and with that, do I understand I have a go in instruction 76?
Christina AFIRM, you are go in 76, and when you unpower S-band, expect a caution, pry S-band fail.
Copy.
This is Artemis Mission Control here in Houston, Texas. There's quite a bit of communication between the crew currently on board the Orion spacecraft, who you can see there on your screen, and the ground, namely the CAPCOM or capsule communicator position. They were discussing some odors, possibly related to the toilet system and some motors. And then they were also discussing resuming the Deep Space Network Emergency Communications Development Flight Test Objective. So Christina continues to work on that. And then Reed and Victor have been wrapping up some medical device checkouts, including a checkout of an electrocardiogram or ECG device. And right now we're in an expected loss of signal. So you're seeing a live look inside the Artemis Flight Control Room here in Mission Control Houston. And this flight control room is just down the hallway from the International Space Station flight control room. And currently on console is the Orbit 2 team of flight controllers. And during the mission, there are three shifts, which are known as orbits, that monitor the crew and its systems 24/7. The Orbit 2 team of flight controllers is being led by NASA Flight Director Paul Kania, who you can see there on the upper right-hand side of your screen, and he is sitting next to the CAPCOM or capsule communicator for this shift, who is Jackie Mahaffey there in the center of your screen, and next to her is NASA astronaut Tracy Dyson, also sitting at the CAPCOM console. Coming up on the timeline, NASA astronaut Victor Glover is expected to complete a window optical quality developmental flight test objective. And during this objective, Victor will take out a D5 camera and take some images at different focal lengths of various subjects out of the window, such as the Earth or Moon, to evaluate the optical effects of the windows on the Orion spacecraft on imagery. And then currently on your screen, you're seeing a view of the Artemis Real-Time Orbital website, which is available at nasa.gov/trackartemis. And this provides view of live data and telemetry coming from the Orion spacecraft, especially when we don't have the live views of the Orion spacecraft itself. In just a few minutes ago, the Orion spacecraft and its crew did surpass a milestone, of which they are now closer to the moon than they are to Earth. So you can see there in the bottom right-hand side of your screen that the Orion spacecraft is currently 137,000 miles away from Earth and about 135,000 miles away from the moon.
You're connected to CMN Network.
This is Artemis Mission Control in Houston, Texas. You're currently seeing a view of the Artemis Real-Time Orbit website on the left-hand side of your screen, which provides live real-time data and telemetry from the Orion spacecraft when we don't have live views from the spacecraft itself. We are currently in an expected loss of signal. And then in the bottom right-hand side of your screen is a look inside of the Artemis Flight Control Room here in Mission Control Houston. Currently on console is the Orbit 2 team of flight controllers being led by Flight Director Paul Cagno, who is in the upper right-hand side of that screen. On board the Orion spacecraft, the crew is currently awake. They are wrapping up some final activities for the day. NASA astronaut Christina Cook is currently working through a deep space network emergency communications developmental flight test objective. Victor is also working on a test objective related to the D5 camera imaging and taking some images at varying focal lengths of subjects such as the Earth and the Moon to evaluate the window optical effects on imagery. And then NASA astronaut Reid Wiseman is working to transfer some data from the flywheel, which is the exercise device on board the Orion spacecraft. And then coming up here in a little bit, CSA, or Canadian Space Agency astronaut Jeremy Hansen, will support a public affairs downlink event for the Canadian Space Agency. We are currently 2 days, 6 hours, and 1 minute into the mission following a liftoff at 5:35 p.m. Central, 6:35 p.m. Eastern on April 1st. And the Orion spacecraft did recently pass a milestone where the crew and the spacecraft are now closer to the moon than they are to Earth. As of right now, they are about 138,000 miles away from the Earth and almost 134,000 miles away from the moon.
Connected to CMN Network.
Houston Integrity, in instruction 10 of S-band string swap, I have a frame lock, but ping is still suspect. Perhaps that's because we are going to be receive only here. Let me know if I can continue. And Houston Integrity, disregard, I now. And Houston Integrity, disregard, I now have a good ping as well. I have you loud and clear on EMBER.com.
Hey, Integrity Houston, voice check, I'm coming up on regular OE1.
Also loud and clear on OE1. Actually, both radios sound very close to each other. No big difference between either.
All right, great news. And Christina, with that, we are go for you to begin step 10.
And work. And Jackie, I am in step 11 where you told me to give you a call, and I do have one question about Amarkov.
We'll take your question.
Okay, not to hold you up, just for understanding, I noticed I had a timer going for about 45 minutes there since we started the ranging. I seem to recall a 45-minute limit for temperatures in TX-RX mode. I was just curious, one, if that's a good memory, and two, if we saw temperatures starting to get to their exceedances. And I can take that answer later.
And Houston Integrity, just wanted to check with you. I assume we can't do the PAO test until Christina's done.
Jimmy, we are in a good config to start the PAO test.
Okay, I'll start it now.
Integrity Houston, the attitude maneuver to the docking window attitude is impending.
Happy, thanks. Jackie, can I go ahead and close the EMERCOM procedure and consider that complete on my end?
Hey, firm Christina, we are ready for you to be done with EMERCOM. Deal.
Copy.
And Jimmy, we have good video again, and we're ready for a scene and voice check when you are. Hey, Jimmy, you look great, but we did not hear that audio via the microphone. Jimmy, we liked that scene and voice. Jimmy, we expect to be ready for an on-time start.
This is Artemis Mission Control here in Houston, Texas. We are currently 2 days, 6 hours, and 31 minutes into the Artemis 2 mission. Currently, you can see CSA, or Canadian Space Agency astronaut Jeremy Hansen, as he gets set up for a CSA Public Affairs downlink event, which will be taking place here in about 3 minutes. And that downlink event will air live to the public as we continue to provide our 24/7 continuous coverage of the Artemis 2 mission around the moon and back.
W8CMN, repeater in Guilford. You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN network. Connected to CMN network. W8CMN. Repeater in Guilford. You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN network. You're connected to CMN Network. W8CMN, repeater in Guilford. Currently connected to CMN network. Connected to CMN network. You're connected to CMN Network. W8CMN, repeater in Guilford. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network. W8CMN, repeater in Guilford. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. W8CMN, repeater in Guilford.
K8RVP. K8RVM, K8RVP.
You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network.
Miss Alice, how am I doing? Over.
Connected to CMN Network. W8CMN, repeater in Guilford. You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. W8CMN, repeater in Guilford. currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
This is KE8YGZ monitoring.
You're connected to CMN Network. W8CMN, repeater in Guilford. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network. W8CMN, repeater in Guilford. connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. WHCMN, repeater in Guilford. You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. WHCMN, repeater in Guilford. You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. W8CMN, repeater in Guilford. Currently connected to CMN Network.
This is KE8N. Looking for a CQ.
Priority driving lunar science question.
Connected to CMN Network.
NABEC, NADXZ. WASFR radio check.
W8CMN, repeater in Guilford. You're connected to CMN Network.
Negative. It is in one of the blue JSBs.
Okay, thanks. That's what the syllables were. Thank you, JSB. And we did discuss, I think we will just use the deployed syringe we've been using for water ops and keep the other one pristine.
Okay, we like that plan, Christina. Thanks.
Thank you.
Again, while in our briefing today, Jeremy Hansen was testing the fill time with the potable water dispenser, filling some food and drink bags. Victor Glover got the chance to exercise using the flywheel device, conducting some resistive exercise workouts. At this time, Commander Reed Wiseman and Mission Specialist Jeremy Hansen have moved into the Lunar Flyby Planning Review. So they are taking a chance to look at their lunar targeting package and at some of the targets that they'll be expected to photograph and describe during flyby on Flight Day 6. They've been studying and training for this flyby for an extended period of time now. However, the visibility of the features on the moon is dependent on the launch day and lunar illumination. So the science team here on the ground has been working on determining which targets they should look to see and describe, as well as capture. This is Artemis Mission Control at Johnson Space Center in Houston, Texas. We have now reached exactly 3 days since the launch of Orion. Being that we're now 3 days since the launch of the Artemis II mission, the spacecraft has traveled quite a distance. We are 182,238 miles from Earth, that distance continuing to grow as we get closer and closer to the moon, our intended destination, now just 98,970 miles away. Orion and its crew passed the halfway point between the Earth and the moon yesterday evening.
Houston Integrity for AGA.
Go ahead, sir, if you would.
When we went to read post-exercise, the unit was off OFF. We think maybe that was due to a low battery. I just powered it on to watch the bit real time, but I do think we are going to be changing the batteries.
Copy, Christina. We were expecting that to come along today, so you can find the new batteries in the F2 small with a purple label. There should be batteries inside some bubble wrap in there.
Copy. Well, look, I get them changed. Thank you.
Thanks.
That call coming to the control team here in Houston from Christine Cook, NASA astronaut and mission specialist for the Artemis II mission. On this flight, to help monitor the gases in the cabin, the crew is equipped with an anomaly gas analyzer. And because Victor Glover just completed exercise, they were expecting to conduct an anomaly gas analyzer reading. They do so before and after those exercise portions. As you heard, Christina Cook mentioned that it needs new batteries, as was confirmed by the flight team here on the ground. Those anomaly gas analyzer readings help the teams understand how the ECLS system is working, the Environmental Control and Life Support System. We have a few other timelined events for today. Of course, the timeline has shifted some, being that we are not performing the outbound trajectory to burn, as it was deemed not needed by the mission control team. During today's daily planning conference, we heard the team call up to Christina about the cognitive assessment test. This is a simple reaction time test that can be used to provide an objective measure of fatigue. That's something she'll be able to do on her portable computing device. We are also looking forward to having the crew framed in the windows of Orion while one of the solar arrays is pointed toward the cabin and gets a picture of the crew and their spacecraft. Additionally, today we have the manual piloting demonstration. We saw some manual piloting aboard Orion just a few days ago when NASA astronaut Victor Glover commanded the spacecraft to maneuver around the interim cryogenic propulsion stage. This is the first time anyone has manually flown Orion, and he was testing its capabilities ahead of future missions to help us understand how the spacecraft flies ahead of missions in which we'll need to dock to a lunar lander. Other crew members will get that chance today, performing attitude maneuvers to compare 6 degree of freedom and 3 degree of freedom attitude control. Currently, Commander Reed Wiseman and Mission Specialist Jeremy Hansen are reviewing that lunar flyby plan, looking at the targeted timeline for that lunar flyby day. This afternoon, Victor Glover and Christina Cook will get the same opportunity to review that flyby plan. Yesterday afternoon, the crew was able to configure the cabin for how they expect to fly on lunar flyby day. They were able to find their positioning at the windows and stow things as needed to make sure they can move about the cabin freely during the time which they'll be observing the moon. Looking ahead to tomorrow's timeline for the crew, we do have an OTC-3 burn planned, outbound trajectory correction 3 burn. Of course, we have waived off the first two of these. We do anticipate using that OTC-3 burn tomorrow just to further refine the trajectory of the spacecraft around the moon. However, tomorrow after post-sleep, the crew will get into their Orion Crew Survival Suit System demo. You probably recall seeing them launch in these crew survival suits. These are the orange suits that they launched in and will splash down in. They'll use this demo to test out how these suits would work in a survival situation if necessary. This is a live view outside the Orion spacecraft from a camera mounted on its solar array wing. Each of the solar arrays has a camera on its tip and give us views of the spacecraft, allowing teams to take a look at the exterior of the spacecraft as well as give us amazing views here on Earth. Now, I mentioned tomorrow we're expecting the Orion Crew Survival System suit demo. We also call those OCS suits, O-C-S-S. During that demo, which will last several hours, the crew will configure the cabin, put on their suits, and perform suit leak checks. They'll also pressurize those suits for demonstrations of the suited nutrition and hydration contingency operations. They will still wear their suits while they install their seats and ingress those seats. These suits are designed to protect Orion in the event of a depressurization of the spacecraft. Being that this is a test flight, teams on the ground are taking every opportunity possible to test out all of their systems on Orion.
Connected to CMN network.
The OCS-suit demo is the main event for the crew tomorrow, aside from that OTC-3 burn in the evening. The OCS-suit demo is scheduled to start just after 1 p.m. Central Time. All four crew members will be conducting that simultaneously.
Houston Integrity, quick question about secondary, you're lined up.
Go ahead.
Unless we hear from you, we are always go to do a secondary line dump, correct?
We're checking. We're going to talk it a little bit more, so we'll get back to you shortly.
Okay, then the near-term question is, are we go right now for a secondary airline dump?
Confirm. You're go right now for a secondary LEM dump.
Houston Integrity for AEGA.
Go ahead.
Yes, ma'am. New batteries are in. I got the message we have greater than 10 hours. And reading from the end of exercise, CO2, 1.0. O2, 20.2, 14 PSIA, and 76 degrees. Question for you, where do the used batteries get stowed, or are they trashed?
Copy those numbers, Christina. Thank you. You can stow the used batteries in FOX 1, the large bag with the brown label. Integrity Houston, we would like to confirm that exercise is finished.
Integrity is confirmed. Exercise is finished.
Copy. Thank you.
This is Artemis Mission Control. We heard the call to the crew confirming that they are done with exercise for the time being. We need to track when they're exercising so the teams here on the ground can put the solar arrays in a safe position. Any exercise happening inside the cabin does impart some movement onto the rest of Orion. We've been able to see that a few times throughout the mission when we have exterior views. And so confirming that they are done with exercise means that the team can maneuver those solar arrays back into their sun track position.
Integrity Houston for secondary line dumps and a couple of other cats and dogs. All right, Reed, we talked about it down here, and we are going to give you a go for the rest of the day for secondary line dumps and look at what we can do to extending that further. The one exception to this is that we request that you do not perform a dump when we are taking our saw selfie prior to midday meal, because our saws will not be configured correctly.
Okay, sounds good. Just tell us when we need to hold on the secondary line dumps. Thanks.
Affirm. We will remind you. In addition, I wanted to let you know that we have a burn plan update for you. So in slots 7 and 8, we have one new abort option. You should see titles abort flight day 5-2, and then the same name plus RTC last.
Okay, copy. We'll take a look in a minute.
Thanks, Reed. And then did you hear anything when we did the prop PCA flushes earlier today?
We did not hear anything in the vehicle.
All right, we copy. Thanks for letting us know. And then finally, a stowage location for Christina. We tried to track down that Honest brand of hygiene item, and there is none, but there is another brand of lotion in the common hygiene kit. You probably already have it up.
Okay, thank you for that. And confirm you got good HHP streaming.
We do not at this time. Integrity, we are on board with good streaming. Thank you.
This is Artemis Mission Control, and you're looking at a live view inside the Orion spacecraft. You heard some communications between the crew aboard Orion and the ground team SEER and Mission Control. You probably heard Capcom Jenny Gibbons call out the new burn plans. There are always burns uploaded to the crew aboard Orion. These are just in case, essentially. She mentioned a couple of abort burn options. We are not targeting any abort at this time. But if we were to get into that situation, they have already uplinked those plans to the crew. This is done throughout the mission as Orion's status and distance from Earth changes. You've likely also heard this crew refer to themselves as Integrity, or refer to their spacecraft as Integrity. For the Artemis II mission, the crew named the Orion spacecraft Integrity and revealed that in fall of 2025. They shared that it embodies the foundation of trust, respect, candor, and humility across the crew and the many engineers, technicians, scientists, planners, and dreamers required for mission access. So when you hear teams here and Mission Control Houston calling the crew and referring to them as Integrity, that's exactly why.
Integrity Houston, we are moving the solar arrays for the SAW picture activity. We'll let you know when they're in position.
as we have this view inside the Orion spacecraft, on the left is Canadian Space Agency astronaut Jeremy Hansen, and in the center of your screen, NASA astronaut Christina Cook. You just heard the call to the crew that the solar arrays are in motion ahead of taking a photo. We're looking to get a picture of the crew in the windows of Orion. Photos are the priority of this event, so we'll stand by to see if we still have streaming, but regardless, we'll be very excited to share those photos with you as soon as we possibly can. Make sure you follow NASA and NASA Artemis on all social media. That would be at NASA and at NASA Artemis.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Integrity Houston, our SAWs are in position to take this family portrait. So sometime in the next few minutes, we'd love to invite you to the windows to get it done. Thanks.
Houston Integrity, can you just confirm, do you want us in four windows or the two middle windows?
We want you to start in four windows, so one face per window, and we'll see how that looks and go from there. A reminder to set your cabin lighting pretty bright and perhaps illuminate your face so we can see as much as possible.
Okay, we understand that. Before we take our makeshift t-shirt off of there, let's just make sure you can see Christina in window four right now.
Checking.
If you look closely right now, you can see NASA astronaut Christina Cook.
That's right. We can see Christina in window four.
Christina was taking a quick picture of that solar array wing camera as it looks back on her in Orion.
Okay. And you can see region three, and you want us to remove window one cover, then it sounds like.
Yes.
All right, without illuminating our faces, all four of us are in the picture. So, Jenny, we're going to hand it over to you to let us know what we need to do.
All right, copy. We're checking. All right, everybody, we're taking the picture, so stay cheese and stay still for about 30 seconds while we perform this photography bracket from the SAWS.
Okay, we'll freeze in 3, 2, 1, mark.
The Integrated Communications Officer, or INCO, is helping take this picture of the crew aboard the Orion spacecraft. Now all smiling in the windows of the place they've called home. Orion is currently 183,883 miles from our home planet Earth, 97,452 miles from the moon. We've had some great views both inside the spacecraft as well as outside, but this is the first time that we're getting to see the crew and the spacecraft in the same photo. As mentioned previously, we are taking pictures right now, so the streaming quality isn't as great. We look forward to sharing these pictures as soon as we possibly can, and make sure you follow NASA and NASA Artemis on social media.
It's taking a little longer than we thought. Thanks for holding. All right, everybody can relax. That was great. Thank you so much. We all look forward to getting your Christmas card come December. Thanks.
All right, sounds good, Jenny. Thanks.
As you heard from Capcom Jenny Gibbons, we got the pictures we're looking for. We are now maneuvering the solar arrays back into their sun track position.
Integrity Houston, we are doing a data rate change, so we'd like you to cut the HHT stream when you're ready. Thanks. And Integrity Houston, just to remind you, that was our last moment where we could not perform a CCU dump, so if you need to do a dump for the rest of the day until crew sleep, you are go.
This is Artemis Mission Control. You're looking at a live view inside the flight control room. This is the Orbit One team under direction of Flight Director Jeff Radigan. He's at the top of your screen in the white shirt. Joined by CAPCOM Jenny Gibbons, Canadian Space Agency astronaut, and backup for the Artemis II crew mission. Gibbons is talking to fellow CAPCOM Matthew Dunn. This view coming from outside the capsule as the solar arrays are reconfigured into their sun track position. Just before the crew turned off the camera inside the cabin, we could see they were getting ready for their midday meal. Some of the items on the menu today include sweet and sour pork, rice, broccoli, fiesta chicken, tortillas, berries, cashews, chicken and peanut sauce, pasta and shrimp, and a lemon curd cake. Sounds pretty good to me. This is Artemis Mission Control here at Johnson Space Center in Houston, Texas. We are coming up on MET 3 days and 1 hour into the flight of Orion. I'm joined here today by Dr. Jacob Richardson. He is the deputy lead for Artemis II Lunar Science. Thanks for joining us.
It's lovely to be here.
So can you tell me about your role and about the team members who make up the Lunar Science team?
W8CMN, repeater in Guilford. Currently connected to CMN network.
Integrity Houston, we are 5 minutes out from a forward link LOS. We'll speak to you in just over 1 hour on Madrid.
We copy. If we need anything, we'll make calls on the blind for the next hour.
This is Artemis Mission Control. It is 3 days, 1 hour, and 15 minutes into the flight of Artemis II. You just heard a call from CAPCOM Jenny Gibbons up to the crew on Orion. They won't be able to hear from us for about an hour. However, we expect to continue to get calls from them. We are on the Deep Space Network. This is also referred to as DSN, and this mission is the first time in over 50 years that humans have been using this network. On your screen, a live view of the Orion spacecraft looking at the moon, our destination now 96,575 miles away. This is Artemis Mission Control, and you're looking at a live view of Orion. Looking at the moon. Currently aboard the spacecraft, the crew are enjoying their midday meal. Again, we won't be able to make any calls to the spacecraft for the next hour or so, but they would be able to call down to us if need be. Obviously, we are still receiving video from them. Still to come today for the crew aboard Orion is the manual piloting demo. The manual piloting demo consists of performing attitude maneuvers using the rotational and translational hand controllers to compare the 6-degree of freedom and 3-degree of freedom attitude control. This will be the second time the crew has had the opportunity to pilot Orion themselves. Victor Glover, NASA astronaut and pilot on the Artemis II mission, manually flew Orion on flight day 1 shortly after launch when the spacecraft separated from the interim cryogenic propulsion stage. This is called the Proximity Operations Demonstration, and during that approximately hour and a half window, Glover commanded the spacecraft to approach and make small translational maneuvers around that ICPS. There is a faux docking target on the ICPS, which has now been disposed of. This was a test to allow the crew to practice flying the spacecraft and give reports back to the ground on how Orion flies manually, all in preparation for our future missions to the moon, during which we will need to dock to the lunar lander. And a recap, if you haven't been able to tune in today, the team opted not to execute the OTC burn, also known as outbound trajectory correction burn. There was a scheduled outbound trajectory correction burn yesterday with a second one today. Both of those were waived off as the trajectory achieved by the TLI, or translunar injection burn, has been deemed sufficient.
Connected to CMN Network.
This is Artemis Mission Control. You are getting a look at a visualization of and its current position in relation to the moon, now 95,707 miles away. We are in a forward-linked LOS with Orion, meaning we cannot contact the crew members. These are planned and tracked loss of signal, but they could call down or contact us if need be. However, they are in their midday meal. You can track the location of Orion yourself by visiting nasa.gov/trackArtemis. This is Artemis Mission Control, and you are looking at a beautiful view of the moon from Orion. This view coming from a camera mounted on the solar array wing. There are 4 solar array wings with cameras mounted on each of them. The crew aboard the spacecraft woke up today at 11:35 a.m. Central Time. Since then, they completed their post-sleep period. They also conducted some public affairs events. Their schedule was shifted a little bit today as we did have the cancellation of the OTC-2 burn, the outbound trajectory correction burn. If you recall, yesterday's flight plan also called for an outbound trajectory correction burn. That was canceled as well. Both of those burns were deemed unnecessary as the translunar injection burn was very accurate and we're on a great trajectory to head around the moon. Canceling the OTC-2 burn today also allowed the team some flexibility on the timeline to maneuver Orion into a different attitude, positioning a primary vent valve in the sun, which helped to loosen up some ice around a vent valve that is used for the wastewater dump. Currently aboard the spacecraft, the crew are enjoying their midday meal. They are in a forward link loss of signal, meaning we cannot contact them at this time. However, they could contact us if needed. These loss of signal periods are maintained and tracked here on the ground, and we expect to regain that in about 30 minutes. The Orbit 1 team is currently on console, led by Flight Director Jeff Radigan. You can probably hear some background noise as the Orbit 2 team is starting to filter in the room and transition into their role for the day. Still to come today, the manual piloting demo during which the crew members will use the rotational and translational hand controllers to manually fly the Orion spacecraft.
You're connected to CMN Network.
This is Artemis Mission Control at Johnson Space Center in Houston, Texas. View on your screen coming from Orion, looking toward the moon, the destination of the Artemis 2 mission. Spacecraft now traveling 2,088 miles per hour. We are 94,868 miles away from the moon, inching ever closer. The crew aboard the spacecraft is still in their midday meal period. We are in a forward loss of signal. We do expect to regain that shortly. These lost signals, or LOS, are tracked here on the ground. We were able to call up to the crew just before we entered this time frame, letting them know that we would be able to hear from them. They just wouldn't hear from us.
Integrity Houston for toilet.
W8CMN, repeater in Guilford.
Go ahead, Jim.
Hey, Reed, we are working a plan to do another dump prior to the manual piloting DFTO. I'll have more words for you on that shortly, but I wanted to give you a last call for the use of toilet before we get into that. Again, toilet is still no-go for urine use, but I want to give you a last call for fecal use as well.
That sounds good, Jenny. And just to confirm, we can still continue to dump secondary line right now, correct?
Affirm.
James, what is preferred for you on the DFTO? You want CATSAM 3 or you want HHP or both?
Good question, Reed. We do not have the bandwidth currently for HHP, so we'll be using CAPCAM 3.
Okay, sounds good.
Integrity Houston for big picture forward plan for the wastewater dump.
Go ahead.
Hey, Tina, as you know, this is a big issue that we want to work toward resolving. So we are going to set up a wastewater dump on the primary line starting now. And we would like at least one crew member to be looking out the window and reporting what they see. Our intent here is just to have that vent open, and we will leave it open until either we reach a minimum quantity on the tank, we have no flow, or we hit a 3-hour limit.
Hey, James, great plan. The one thing we would add is we've got some secondary dumps either in work or just finishing. So in order to assess what's coming out of the primary, we may recommend waiting a few minutes for that. We can let you know when it looks pretty clear, if that sounds okay.
Yeah, Tina, that sounds reasonable. How long do you expect that to take?
All right, the dump just started, and usually completes within a minute. However, there's usually some secondaries after that. So I would estimate in about 3 minutes.
Okay, that sounds great to us. Give us a call in 3 minutes and we will get started. I also wanted to revise my last and let you know that through further discussion on the ground, we can let you know that while we are performing this vent, the toilet is go for fecal use. So good news there.
Copy.
This is Artemis Mission Control here in Houston, Texas. You've got a view of the flight director, Jeff Radigan. To his left is Flight Director Diane Daly. She will be the flight director for the Orbit 2 shift as the Orbit 1 shift is now transitioning off console. Down to the bottom of your screen, at the very bottom, is Jackie Mahaffey. She's the crew's trainer for this mission, and she'll be serving as CAPCOM. And to her left, CSA astronaut and Artemis II backup, Jenny Gibbons. She's been the CAPCOM for the Orbit 1 shift, speaking with the astronauts. You just heard them discussing the next wastewater dump opportunity. It has been something the team has been troubleshooting today. They're looking to empty this line that they anticipate or they understand was blocked by ice. The spacecraft is still in a good configuration and this doesn't have any emission or lunar flyby impacts. We are now 3 days, 2 hours, 24 minutes into the Artemis II mission. However, we are referring to this day as flight day 4. The crew is now 94,334 miles away from the moon, which you can see there. They are ever growing closer and ever growing farther away from our home planet, 187,185 miles and counting. As the Orbit 1 and Orbit 2 teams continue to conduct their handover procedures, I'll also be over the public affairs console to my friend and colleague on Twitter. Really enjoyed being with you here today. The Orbit 1 shift will be back tomorrow, and of course, our astronauts are still working throughout the day, and our stream is still live 24/7 on NASA's YouTube.
We are fairly quiet up here. Let us start the vent.
It can work, Reed. Integrity crew, the vent valve has opened.
All right, we'll keep monitoring, but right now we see no flow at all.
Copy.
We heard one little chug deep down beneath us, and now we are getting some spurts with some increasing force, so let's just keep open here.
Copy. Great news, and we're seeing some flow on our side, too. Thank you, Reed.
Yeah, you got four crew members rooting for Max Blizzard, and we have a good view out the window. It looks like you must have started the mission, so that's a good sign.
Great news. I wanted to keep the mic so you could hear a clap there.
Connected to CMN Network.
Integrity crew, we're maneuvering to the attitude for manual piloting.
Okay, Integrity copies. Integrity, just let us know when we'll go to start the manual piloting DFT02, step one.
All right, Integrity crew, you are go to start the manual piloting DFTO. We are going to come
three,
aboard.
And when you perform this DFTO, we are happy to take 10 degrees rotation in all axes instead of 15 if you like. We will also happily accept all pilots that we have time for. Let us know how she handles.
We like the sound of all that. Copy 10 degrees, so we'll aim for that to speed this up a bit so we can get more inputs.
We appreciate it. Thanks, Jeremy. And crew, we're on board with you through CAPTEM 3.
Integrity for a quick waste update.
We'll take it.
Hey, James, now we have about 10% of the time we see a full blizzard, and then it dies down to a flurry, and then it picks up to a full blizzard again. It's going about blizzard about once every maybe 30 seconds, but it is very very dynamic. It's not just one continual set, but beautiful, and we're watching the tank quantity go down, so hopefully it's looking good.
That's super helpful for us to know. Thanks, Reed. We're still watching it.
And Houston, it's integrity. It's not in the procedure, so we just want to double check, but we're going to do this GFTO in DAP mode 2.
Affirm, DAP 2.
And just giving you some handling qualities here for the yaw. Everything was nominal. I noted that with this warp mount, it does have some play in it as we knew, and so just applying some downward force, I make sure you don't get coupling, is required. That's fine. That's workable. And then we had a little bit of coupling and roll, in both in the same direction on that one. So we had about 4 degrees of roll through the 20 degrees of yaw.
Copy that.
Okay, and we're still just completing the pitch maneuvers, but we're not picking up any coupling for the pitch. And the vehicle was very responsive at nulling out the half degree per second. It's almost instantaneous.
Copy.
Okay, Houston, for the roll, the only thing I noticed is I had a little coupling in the roll right yaw and was able to compensate for that in the roll, or in the roll left. Didn't have any coupling in the up. I think we're just getting used to the orb mount here.
Copy all, Jeremy, and we are a minute away from a data rate change. We will have a very brief LOS during that time. I will let you know when we're back with you.
Okay, copy that.
Integrity crew, we're back with you.
Okay, we just finished the three DOF maneuvers. The rates all seem the same, the response seem the same. It is difficult to tell whether you might have some cross-coupling from the RHC or if it's from the vehicle, but we were pretty convinced in the last roll one that the coupling that showed up, which was 4 degrees, was coming from the vehicle and not the RHC.
Copy all, Jeremy. Thank you.
Okay, and then with the jets intentionally deselected with the left yaw, the rate built up as expected nominally, but it's having a hard time nulling out the rate. So almost there now, and we've got 7 degrees of yaw before it nulls the rate.
Copy all. Thank you, Jeremy.
So the vehicle overshot by 7 degrees once it was released from the yaw left, and then it built up very slowly, built up a rate, and it looks like it's trying to take it back to where the RHC was released, but it's overshooting again.
Copy all.
Yeah, and during that maneuver, we haven't maneuvered back to center yet. We develop 5 degrees of roll left and 5 degrees of pitch up. And then when it built up a rate to try and look like it tried to go back to where the RHC was released, it went back to 355 instead of 350. So just to read all that down, we commanded a left yaw until we saw 350 yaw. It went to 343, and then it went back to 355 before it nulled all the rates. And now we'll put one in, and we'll just take it back to zero.
Very good. Thanks, Jeremy.
Okay, and now the yaw rate is complete, and as expected, took a bit of time to build up the rate, but was able to null the rate quickly and accurately.
Copy all.
Okay, during the pitch checkout, there is no perceptible change in performance. Able to build the rate quickly and null it out quickly and accurately.
Excellent, thanks.
Okay, and then for roll in this configuration, the left roll is a little bit slower to build up. The right roll is responsive as per normal.
Copy.
And Jenny, we are going to switch pilots now. This will be myself in the seat and making comments.
Copy. We're following the swap. Thank you. Integrity Crew Houston, we want to offer up to our pilot, if you want, you can do 5 degrees instead of 10 to move it along a bit quicker. We're looking forward to getting some info for you as a pilot here.
You're connected to CMN Network.
We copy that.
All right, we copy on that one. I already had 10 in, so I went ahead and completed all the way back. Standard soft behavior, fast ramp up to the app speed. There were 2 degrees of roll added in. I did attempt to stop that cross crumbling during the roll in the yaw back, but I didn't get there. So just a little cross crumbling there, getting used to the orb mount in its place.
Copy, we follow. Thanks for sharing.
Okay, similar behavior with 5. In this instance, there was a very small amount of roll in that I did try to take out, and with a quick roll pulse, it did take it out. That was a manual thing that I did, but it was nice to see you could do that if you had unintended coupling going on.
Copy all.
Okay, a similar thing with roll. Roll was definitely the most difficult for me to keep the yaw out coupling naturally, so I just kind of put some manual yaw in to undo the coupling there, but similar success performance.
Excellent. Thank you, Christina. And just for your information, we are comfortable going a little over on this activity. Our schedule allows for it today, and we're getting a lot of good info from you. So we'll have you continue to the end of the DFTO.
Copy. Negligible change in 3 DOS and with the...
Copy.
Okay, I'm going to make a comment on the pitch up. There was some roll there. I tried a different technique where I actually kind of held the orb mount at the high end of its play rather than pressing down at the low end since I was pitching up. But I think that actually made it a little bit harder to keep the roll coupling out. So for pitch down, I'll go ahead and hold it at the bottom of its play. So in this, again, in the direction, in this case, of the pitch.
Copy all.
Okay, great performance and pitch, similar to the 6-stop.
Copy.
Okay, on that one, I kind of went the other direction at first, but was able to remove the oscillations. I think the orb mount with roll, I was just playing with compensation there, like kind of actively using muscles to keep the yaw in or from going. Mixed results, but it was good to try some of that actively.
I like it. Thank you.
All right, Jenny, on this one, given that when we had an overshoot, which was then overcorrected 5 degrees in the direction it came from, I wanted to try the method of actually overshooting on purpose to try to get back to the 5 degree. So we'll see if that works.
Thank you. We're following along.
And Houston, we have some Earth and Moon viewers here who are putting in requests for different motions so that they can see things in the window.
We're seeing them in the camera views, and we're enjoying it. Look at those scientists go.
Boom, 5 degrees.
Boom.
All right, Jenny, and that one, as expected, had a slow start, but then finished right when release happened, and I was able to build up the full rate eventually.
Copy.
Okay, and as expected with those specific jets deselected, no difference in pitch.
Copy.
Okay, and on that one, I released at 5 degrees at a 2-degree overshoot. I'm holding the orb, I'm holding against the play of the orb mount that is inward to my body and forward or down while putting in the roll, and so it takes a little bit of kind of a, like, counteracting muscle movement for that, but I think I had pretty decent lack of coupling.
Copy.
Okay, a little more roll for the peanut gallery.
They love it.
All right, he said, thanks for your patience. We had to see the full moon and the Earth at the same time, which was just accomplished. Now we're going to be rolling back.
We understand and approve.
All right, Jenny, I definitely have some stuff to report for that one. Going back, which was the roll left, two things. The pitch coupling that you saw, I do think, was due to an input on the RHC, but the yaw, I don't think was, because I actively tried to take out the yaw, and I felt myself having to go out of the detent in the other direction to start affecting that yaw motion that you were seeing. So I think that might have been because of it was difficult for it to compensate potentially, and I think that one might not have been because of inputs of the hand controller.
At the all, GNC agrees.
Rockin'. We see ourselves complete with the manual piloting, and we'll continue and close out the procedure if you agree.
Hi, Christina, we totally agree, and while we have you, we just wanted to give you one item for Jeremy's timeline. We noticed a conflict with his TPC and the filming for exercise and day in the life, so we just wanted to let him know that he can do the TPC early. We'll be ready to support that and be mindful of when the filming starts at his discretion. Thanks.
Good copies all. Thanks.
A pleasure. And with that, I will pass you on to the very capable Jackie Mahaffey.
See you, Jenny. Thank you. Hey, Jackie. Every once in a while, we do hear a little like thud in the spacecraft, followed by a little plume of snowflakes. So there probably is just ice chugging through those lines. And we are still getting little intermittent blizzards. You probably see it on the solar array cameras, but it is still just going. It's dwindling. And then if you do see the volume pick up in the next over the next 5 minutes, there's going to be a few secondary as well.
Indeed, we copy all. Thank you for the insight.
And confirm you all, I have secured Cap Camp 3.
Negative. Stand by. We then to clarify, we are interpreting that as you would like us to turn off Cap 3.
Yeah, that is a firm.
We will let you know when that's in place.
Okay, copy.
Integrity Houston, we have only an external view of Orion.
Okay, sounds good. We'll probably, you were bandwidth limited earlier. I don't know if you want HHP in a little while. We can happily set that up. And next question is, if you can ask White, is there an estimate of toilet coming back functional for urine? That'll just change some of our next steps. If not, we'll continue on CCUs.
Our goal for the toilet is to vent down to approximately 10%, and then we need to have a couple of discussions here on the ground, so you can expect a couple of hours before we would potentially give you a go for toilet use.
That is exactly the information we wanted to hear. Thank you so much. Integrity, the DFTO procedure is complete.
Jeremy, we copy, and we will be taking you back to Bias Tail to Sun.
Copy that. Integrity, Jack, I'm ready to DC.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
We're dialing you now. Integrity Houston, per Reed's question a few minutes ago about the HHP cam, we do have the bandwidth, and when Jeremy finishes up his conference, we would be happy to come back on board. Second item, maybe Christina can help answer this. We were wondering at the DUs, how was the audio line-wise, clarity-wise from the speaker unit?
Can we copy the question? And we will get back to you shortly. It's been Orion. We dropped a call, so if you could redial, that'd be great.
Same work.
W8CMN, repeater in Guilford.
We are ready, and also Arrays and ARS are in the planned config for exercise.
We copy, go for exercise, thank you. CO2, 1.6. CO2, 19.3. Pressure, 13.8. Temperature, 75.3.
Houston copies, and as a reminder, we are staying in a 2 ARS scrubber config for this exercise period, and we'll definitely want the intermittent, the scheduled AGA reading in between the two runs and at the end. If it's looking good, we're talking about whether we might want to stay in that config through the end of reads exercise.
We copy. We'll do.
Integrity Houston, a reminder that we do have the bandwidth to come on board with the HHP camera. Let us know if that's something you'd like to do.
Connected to CMN Network.
Houston Integrity, at this time we're going to hold off on doing the HHP camera. Just due to the things we're trying to manage right now, but we will get you on board as soon as and often as we can.
No rush. Thanks. Integrity Houston for Wastewater Dump Insight.
Go ahead.
We are looking for the latest observations you might have on what the wastewater dump is sounding like and looking like.
Louder in here than it was the last time we reported, and so I don't haven't noticed anything noise-wise, but visually it's going from a light drizzle to the a moderate blizzard to about 5-second intervals, and they last for about a second, but it still seems to be going strong.
We copy all. Thank you.
Houston Integrity AGA readings. When ready.
We are ready.
CO2, 1.8. O2. 0.1. 13.95 psi. 76.1 degrees.
We copy all. You got a very positive reaction from the ECOM DME area of the room on that CO2 level. And a reminder, although I'm not sure it'll be needed, pay attention if you're feeling any symptoms of a rising CO2 and report those as well.
Absolutely. Houston Integrity. Question on exercise timing. We would really love it if we didn't have to wait 15 minutes between crew members, but let us know.
And Houston is happy to eliminate that wait and go for the next person.
Awesome. Thank you. Houston, Integrity, question for Photo TV.
Go ahead.
Actually, it's two questions. The first question is 7 gigs too big of a photo, of a video to downlink? And the second question is, did you all get the Windows DFTO videos?
Checking on both?
Excuse me, Windows DFTO pictures. And then, Jackie, if you could pass along a message to the team analyzing those videos about the Windows DFTO, let me know when you're ready to copy.
Eddie.
When I first started taking the photos, I realized that small changes in how far the lens was from the window made a difference in the image quality. And so the first few shots are not useful, and they start on window. The first shots were on window 3, I believe. And then, I'm sorry, window 2. And on window 2, I retook the photo starting on the left side, and the voice recording will say window to left 80, 135, 200 and 400, but it will say lens touching. So those are the images to use. Hopefully you'll notice there's two sets of the window to left, and then the rest of the images are all correct. The docking hatch, window 2, and then the center and right images for window 2.
We copy all. Thanks for the insight. And Victor, just to circle back, the team did get the Windows DFTO photos. They are taking a look at those today, and so your additional information will be very useful. Thanks. And to the first question about the 7 gigs for video size, we can give that a shot via optical comm overnight tonight.
Okay, it's a PAO video, and we'll get that on the PCD1, and hopefully you get it overnight. Thanks.
Copy, PCD1.
Hey, Jackie, that video is nothing special. It's just some routine cabin shots. I just, all the other cameras were used, so I used an iPhone at lowest res, and it just made a large file. Sorry about that. We'll fix it tomorrow.
You are almost two-thirds of the way to the moon. It's a special video. Thank you.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Integrity Houston for some timeline planning.
First, we're going to give the ACA rating. We just want our numbers. We are still looking at CO2 at 1.7, O2 at 19.9, and cabin temperature at 76.0.
That sounds great. Might even say whoop. With that, big picture on timeline, we've got, we're talking about two modifications related to the opportunistic lunar imaging. The first is that we want to deconflict that event with the PAO event so that we've got a solid, calm, confident PAO attitude. And secondly, we want to tie in some related Peltor PCD audio recording testing. It doesn't necessarily have to happen during the imaging, but somewhat related. So two questions for you all. One, we're looking for an estimate on when Reed will have finished exercise. And two, Christina or another available crew member have some time to conduct a Peltor PCD audio recording check, so maybe 10 to 15 minutes there, and then also get the cameras prepped for the opportunistic imaging. That way, if we can get it in before the PAO event, we might try to do that.
Christina is happy to do those things, and for exercise, I'm just going to do it as efficiently as I possibly can when Jeremy is complete here.
Okay, that sounds great. For your awareness, we're looking to get in at least 10 minutes in the lunar science imaging attitude prior to the PAO HD test at 0535. And Christina, when you're ready, I've got some instructions for you on the
Christina, that's a much higher priority than my exercise, so why don't we get in the attitude, and then if I can knock out some exercise later today, I will.
There's some setup to get ready for it anyways, so you're completely good to start exercising now, and if we have to cut you off a little early, it sounds like you won't mind.
Okay, Jackie, this all sounds super. Jeremy's going to do his exercise, and when he's done, if there's any time, I'll jump on until you tell me to stop. But please prioritize his maneuvers and science objectives over my exercise.
Okay, we copy all.
Connected to CMN Network. W8CMN, repeater in Guilford.
Integrity exercise.
Go ahead.
Hey, Jackie, the CO2 is 2.4, temp is 76.1, and Jeremy is wrapping up now, and then I'll, if it's okay with you guys, I'll just jump right on until you call me off for maneuvers.
That is perfect. We copy all.
Kick him.
Integrity Houston, a couple of items related to a dump visual check and then the forward plan for exercise stop and science setup.
Go ahead, Jackie.
Hey, Christina. First of all, we need Reed to stop exercise at or before 0515 and give us a call to confirm he has stopped. We'll kick off the maneuver right at 0515 to the lunar imaging attitude.
Copy, 0515, he will be done. We'll call you to confirm.
Great, and then also the wastewater dump, we were able to get down to 10% and have stopped the dump. We would like a visual check from crew now that the valve is closed to let us know if and what you see.
Yeah, it does appear to have stopped. Oh, we just had a little chug, but for the most part, there's another chug. It is... Well, actually, it's chugging pretty regularly, but when I first looked, second.
Christina, we copy chugged
yep,
about every few seconds.
That is continuing every few seconds. There is a single pulse of particles coming around, and then it stops. But it is nowhere near the constant stream that we had before.
Christina, out of curiosity, wondering if Reed has started exercise yet, is there any correlation between those two things? And are you able to hear any of the thud or chug noises like earlier?
No correlation and negative.
We copy all. If you happen to notice that stopping at any point, we don't just let us know. I think we'd be interested in that. And then, Christina, I have some instructions for you on camera setup and
call
processing.
All right, Jack, I'm ready to copy.
Right. All of this you will be able to utilize steps from your the opportunistic imaging activity on Victor's band a little bit later. You can use that procedure, 36.2.1, opportunistic imaging. For the Peltor recording test, step three of that procedure is an if OE comms crowded conditional. And we'd like you to head into that conditional, and it'll have some Peltor headset operations steps. So you can follow those steps and the subsequent PCD voice recorder reference. But really, we just want to get a couple of minutes of you using the voice recorder with the Peltor and the PCD. And if you can get a volunteer or two to do some talking in the background, some different, common Kevin audio in the background of that. What we're interested in, you play that back, are you able to hear those background noises? And for context, partly this is checking against, our pre-flight testing, and it will also help us understand what kind of activities we can schedule concurrently with future opportunistic science observations.
Okay, yeah, the big picture totally makes sense, and I really appreciate the context. That's great. I'm not able to open the procedure right now, but can you tell me exactly what steps I'll be doing in that? I understand that what I say yes on that if about if OE1 is crowded, but what total steps overall am I doing in that procedure?
Everything for the Peltor recording is encompassed in step three of the opportunistic imaging, and we're checking on if there's any specific steps embedded in there that you do not need to perform.
Okay, so I'm doing 36.2.1 step three, and are the voice recording samples also a part of that, or is that just something separate I'm doing on my own?
Yeah, it's all embedded in that. So that conditional, if the OE comms crowded, gives you procedures for Peltor headset operations and PCD voice recorder reference, all embedded in the parent step three.
Got it. Okay, thanks. I'll take a look, and I'll start executing and let you know.
Okay, great. I had one more piece for you. In order to be ready for the 10 minutes we're going to have for the opportunistic imaging, we also suggest that you or a second crew member volunteer go ahead and set up the D5 with long lens and Z9 with 35 millimeter lens in the lunar observation config. And step one of the opportunistic imaging gives you the procedure references for the lunar let me tell you this. Lunar observation setup is 26.4.1114 for the D5 camera.
Jackie. We were having a little bit of a conversation in the cabin for the first part of that, but I think you just would like me to set up those two cameras for lunar imaging reference 36.4.1114.
The 26.4.1114 is the D5 version of the lunar observation setup.
Copy, 26, that made 4 cents, IBA. All right, I'll track. I'll get on it. Jackie, one question back to you about when do you expect we might be able to use toilet again?
Yeah, I understand the question. The teams are talking about the signature, and they are actively meeting to get you a forward plan as soon as possible, but it's maybe another hour before we can get back to you with a forward plan.
Copy. Would you authorize one use of the toilet?
Checking. And Integrity Houston, breaking news. We have results on the discussions down here for the tank venting, and at this time, you are go for all types of uses of the toilet.
And the crew rejoices. Thank you. Houston Integrity, timeline, final sync.
I don't know if we can use the final word for the whole day, but yeah, let's talk one more time now.
That is fair. We understand that at 15:15, Reed will stop exercising, and you will start to maneuver the vehicle for the opportunistic science vision. Visuals. And then at that point, are we subbing in the PAO event and then doing the opportunistic science blue box activity after, or are we doing the opportunistic science before?
Christina, good question. We are going to jump right into the opportunistic science imaging at 05:15, or as soon as we get into attitude. And then at 05:30, we need to start maneuvering back to the attitude that will support the PAO event.
Copy. So you still envision both Victor and I doing the opportunistic science activity overall?
We will take your judgment, but we would like it done during this time. This is the opportunity that we have today. Integrity Houston for imaging and TELTOR priorities.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Hey, Christina, since we've got this very specific block that will be in attitude for the imaging, the priorities are to get the camera set up and have you perform that block as written in Victor's timeline. And if the PELTORs are not set up yet, we can absolutely take any observations on OE1. And then afterwards, when the attitude is not so critical, we can perform the check of the PELTOR recording.
Perfect. We were thinking the same. You said we are clear on exercise.
You copy.
And CO2 2.4.
Integrity for opportunistic science. Which window am by setting up.
Window 2.
Copy, thanks.
Integrity Houston, we are in attitude, as you can probably see. And one clarification on the cameras. After using the long lens on the D5, we would suggest switching that lens to the Z9 to capture a few more photos.
This is Jackie. That is an obviously large moon looking out the window. Good gracious. And you can definitely see the beginnings of the far side with Oriental and beyond Oriental a little bit. That is just awesome.
All right, some smiling folks here, and we wouldn't mind any other observations you want to share directly with us.
Well, our first observation, Jackie, is that we once again need to clean all our windows before we do the lunar flyby day.
We copy.
All right, we can clearly see Grimaldi, Glushko. We can see over to Oriental just with the naked eye. The moon is so bright just through the naked eye that it's going to take me a little while to adjust. You don't see any stars at all because the moon glow is so... I do see a couple stars as my eyes are starting to adjust to this. Primary colors that we see right now, just a bright, bright white, especially on the south pole on the far side, and then all the mares on the near side are just varying shades of gray. Not picking up any color yet, just with the human eye, but we also haven't dwelled very long on this. Definitely see all of the basin of Oriental, Aristarchus, Copernicus, easily all in view. This is so awesome.